Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
All right, folks, today we're on part 11 of 30 as I dive into my book, Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines. So that's what this series is about. If you haven't been listening to the previous 10 sections, I'm just talking about a little bit about my book, my most popular book, Blue Collar Leadership. So today I'm talking to you about chapter 11, and this is actually my favorite thing to talk about. This one little chapter right here is the greatest leadership lesson I ever learned that I've ever been able to apply. And it's the one I want to share with other people the most. If you talk to me any amount of time, you're probably going to hear me talk about what we're about to talk about today. So chapter 11 is titled The Power of the Pause Button. And so I didn't even know what a pause button was. I'd never heard that term. I didn't know what it even meant. But before I tell you about that, what it means, where it comes from, that sort of thing, I want you to know this. What happens to you is important, but your response to what happens to you is most important. And the reason is, we can't always control what happens to us. Sometimes bad things happen that we would not choose to have happen, but it happens. Someone does something to us, or some act of nature or act of God or whatever you want to say happens, and it's outside of your control. That's life. What's inside of your control, though, is your response to what happens. So I always like to tell this story about how I learned it. And if you've listened to a lot of my other podcasts, I've got another podcast where I talk about this in detail, but it fits right here. So I'm going to make it part of this series and probably add some new stuff to it as well. But I always like for people to know how I got this, how I captured this golden nugget that I've kept with me since 2008 when I first discovered it. So a friend of mine had loaded my iPod with some music in 2005. And when he gave it back, he said, "Hey, Mac, I put some music on this iPod for you, but I put a good business book on there too." I said, "Okay, what was that business book?" He said, "The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People." And you have to know, this was 2005. I'd never heard any of the kind of stuff that I write about and talk about today. I was totally ignorant to it. Never had anybody introduce me to this stuff. So Zach says, "It's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People." I said, "Is it any good?" He said, I don't know. I ain't ever listened to it." And I can tell you, I don't know if Zach's ever listened to it. I hope he has, but I don't know that he has. And we kind of got out of touch when I changed jobs and he moved away and things like that. So fast forward 3 years, I never listened to that. 2008, I started my own lean manufacturing consulting business. I'm driving around in my car. I've got my iPod plugged in to my stereo, and my stereo's, you know, visually it scrolls across the text, the name of the song and the artist, that sort of thing. So a man starts talking. I'm like, "What is this?" Because it was not music. So the man started talking. I looked at the screen, see what it was, and it was the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's when I remembered Zach told me about this business book when he gave me these songs, but that was 3 years ago. And I was working in a corporation. I didn't really need to know about that because he said it was a business book. But now I was starting my own business, so it made sense that, hey, I'm starting my own business. Maybe I should listen to this business book Zach gave me. So I hit rewind so I could go back and start at the beginning because I wasn't really paying attention to it when it first came on. So I started back listening to it. And this thing was only an hour. And I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know there was a book. I didn't know who Stephen Covey was the author. I didn't know he had written other books. I didn't know any of that stuff. All I knew was Zach said this is a business book, and it was about to play. But the whole book on audio was 13 hours or so, 12 or 13 hours. But I didn't know all that then, so I didn't know that. I just had an overview, kind of like a highlight version, giving me the top of the waves, you know, some of the good stuff. But that was probably all I needed at the moment. But anyway, I started listening to it. Pretty quick into it, Dr. Covey says, between stimulus and response, human beings have the freedom to pause and choose their response. And I had never thought of that. It makes common, I mean, it's common sense. We talked about that back in part four, chapter four. That's the title. Common sense is never enough. It's common sense. As soon as you hear that, that you will shake your head and agree. Oh yeah, we have the freedom to choose our response. When something happens, we have the freedom, if we want to pause and choose our response. Now, at the time, I hardly ever did that. I didn't, if I did it, it was by accident. I had never thought about it on purpose. I would just respond. React was more like it. Something happened, and basically, I go crazy. That was pretty much the way it was. And get angry and, all, you know, all this stupid stuff, I call it, when I'm talking about myself. But I hit rewind, and I listened to that over and over, and I listened to Dr. Covey say, between stimulus and response, human beings have the freedom to choose their response. And it just made a lot of sense. So, again, I played it over and over. And I probably screwed up that day and probably got angry. But I thought about what I had learned and heard, and I started listening to that audio every day. Started sharing it with other people. Then eventually I started reading and listening to other stuff. But I listened to that thing over and over. It just, that entire audio made a lot of sense to me. But that one little nugget right there changed my life. And I'll tell you this, Napoleon Hill said it this way: self-mastery is the hardest job you'll ever tackle. If you don't conquer self, you will be conquered by self. You may see at the same time both your best friend and your worst enemy by simply stepping in front of the mirror. We get to hang out with whichever one of those folks we want to every day. Our worst enemy or our best friend. We decide. But when you look in the mirror, I promise you, both of them are looking back. You get to decide who you want to hang out with every day. So that's what the pause button. I heard Dr. Covey's brother later in Seven Habits for Highly Effective Marriages. I heard him talking about the same thing, and he calls it a pause button. Dr. Covey said, between stimulus and response, human beings have the freedom to pause, choose their response. His brother actually started talking about it and called it a pause button. So I kind of took hold of that and started talking about the pause button. Whenever I'm talking about being proactive, and that's what Dr. Covey was teaching there, to be proactive. And I share it that way because people can understand it easier. Just pause, hit that pause button, and choose your response based on your values. See, reactive people respond based on feelings. Proactive people respond based on values. So you have to adopt and develop and align yourself with a set of values. And we're talking really about natural laws and principles that have been with us since the beginning of time and will be with us to the end of time. And when you align your values with those principles and laws, and you pause and choose your response based on those values and principles, you'll get the results that you want to get out of life. But when we're just reactive, a lot of bad things can happen. So I want to give you an example just from my days of working on the front line. So it never failed. When I had planned something for the weekend, which was any time I wouldn't be able to volunteer to work the weekend, there'd be times when I'd be told at the last minute I needed to work. And what I'm saying, the reason I didn't volunteer was because there was no work available. Because back in those days, I needed to work. But sometimes there was no opportunity, no option. So I couldn't volunteer for the weekend, so I'd make plans. And like many others on the front lines with me at that time, I'd get angry. When I wanted to work the weekend and there was nowhere for me to work, And I decided, okay, I'm going to make some plans for the weekend. And then at the last minute, I was told to work overtime. That's the stimulus in that equation I was telling you about a minute ago. I was told to work overtime. That's the stimulus, which I needed the overtime, remember? And I still instantly got angry. That was my response. So I was told to work overtime. That was the stimulus. And then I got angry. That was the response. And in those days, this was long before 2008. This was like the late 80s, early 90s. So it was a long time ago. In those days, though, I didn't know I had a pause button. I hadn't even thought of the concept. I never even considered my values, much less made a conscious decision to pause, consider those values that I didn't even really have, and respond based on them. Today, it happens instantly. And I'll give you an example of that, too, in the middle of this little story. Just recently, my wife and I, Rhea, we were at a Mexican restaurant having dinner. And we was with my mom, and all three of us were sitting there. We had just ordered our drinks, and mom had a water, and I'm kind of glad of that. The lady come in, and she sat down. Rhea and I had Diet Coke, I believe. So the waitress brought our three drinks on the little tray. She reached across me and handed Rhea her drink, and she grabbed my Coke, set it down for me. And about that time she turned, she just twisted slightly to grab mom's glass of water and handed it to mom. But that ain't what happened. As soon as she set down my drink, she tilted a little bit. And as she went to grab the water, it was already too late. The water was headed my way. And so she dumped the entire glass, big glass, probably 32 ounces of ice cold water, straight into my chest, straight down into my lap. Every bit of it spilled out. It didn't just spill a little bit. It's just like you took the whole thing, dumped it straight down my chest into my lap. And it was ice cold. And took my breath away for a second. Like when you jump in some cold water, that happened. That was kind of a reflex. But other than that, I didn't worry about it. I didn't get angry about it. She was all upset with herself, apologizing and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm soaking wet. We just sit down to have dinner and people are watching. But unless they saw it happen, they would not know from me and my reaction that it even happened. In the old days, it would have been a lot different. But she got some towels and stuff. Somebody else brought some towels, and I just kind of stood up and patted my pants a little bit and dried off, and they cleaned up the table. And I told her, don't worry about it. Ain't a big deal. I've been wet before. And that's the truth. I've been wet before. You probably have too. So I didn't even worry about it. I said, we're going to sit here and enjoy a nice meal, and you quit worrying about it, and I promise you it's going to be all right. And we just carried on about the evening like it never even happened. We didn't sit there and talk about it all night. We had dinner, and when the lady got and I never got angry. I didn't. Who cares? I've been wet before. My values was, at this time, I didn't want to cause a scene. I didn't want to hurt this lady's feelings. She didn't do it on purpose. It doesn't even matter. So just move on. That was the way I dealt with it now. That's why I say, today, instantly, this happens. In the old days, I didn't even know I could do it. So at the end of our meal, the waitress comes up, gives us our check, and she's still apologizing. And when I opened the check, it had another time she had written there on the check, and it said, Mr. Story, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I hate that happened. And she drew a little smiley face. And I put down a 20% tip, and below it I wrote a note that says, we all make mistakes. And I drew a little smiley face. Because she probably thought she wasn't getting a tip that day. And she might not have from a lot of people. But like I tell you on these podcasts a lot of times, I'm better now. and that's an example of how you can choose your response in any situation. And it don't have to ruin it. I didn't sit there and moan and groan and complain during our whole dinner that I was wet and this girl was an idiot and all that goofiness like I would have done in the past. We just carried on like it never even happened. So back to the story about working the overtime. So back then, things were different. My response was instant in those days and based purely on my feelings. At the time, the feeling I didn't want to work since I had made plans not to work. The feeling this happened all the time because it did. The feeling if they knew what they were doing, meaning our leaders, we wouldn't have to work. We could have stuck to the schedule of not having to work. Or at least they could have given me some notice. That's the kind of stuff I would have been thinking and was thinking. The feeling they could care less about me or my plans and on and on and on. I could just come up with a million reasons to be angry and blame those folks. But also back then, my results were also much different. Because of my constant personal growth and development, today I can earn more in a few hours speaking on leadership than I used to earn in an entire year on the front lines. And I don't say that to impress you because I don't have a need to impress you. I say it to motivate and inspire you to consider making some changes because I've made a ton of changes. You may not want to do what I'm doing, but I guarantee you, you want to have a better life. Maybe you want more money. Maybe you want a better job. Maybe you want to start your own business. Maybe you want to climb the ladder where you're at and run the business where you work or run the team or the department or the plant, all different things that you may want to do. And all I'm telling you here is you can do all of that, but you got to change the way you think. Nobody can do that for you but you. I always tell people, if you want dramatically different results, you must do things dramatically different. And for many people that read this book or listen to this podcast or listen to my audio book, applying the principles I'm teaching will be dramatically different. Because some people are going to be like me when they hear this. They never heard this stuff. And those are the people I'm doing this for the most. I'm absolutely doing it for those who are already focused on growth and development. But I'm also doing it primarily to help people who've never heard this stuff, who were exactly where I was in 2008. Never had heard this stuff, right? But today my life's different. And it's because I heard this stuff and I changed the way that I think. So if what I'm teaching you seems totally different than how you normally operate, meaning choosing your response, not getting angry, not being reactive, not being negative, then I'm here to tell you big things are waiting for you if you're willing to make some big changes. So there's big things waiting, but you got to make some big changes. And I know because I've transformed my life with these simple to understand but hard to apply principles. And I'm telling you this, you and your family are worth the effort. So make it happen. You can make it happen. You and your family are worth the effort. Whatever that means, wherever you're at. And if you can learn this stuff and you can apply it, especially if you got children and grandchildren, and you can teach them this stuff at a younger age, you can accelerate their growth and development into the real world because it ain't as cool and simple and easy as most people think it is. Pretty complicated. So as I improve the man in the mirror, my results improve. And that's common sense, right? But we talked about that. Doing it requires uncommon sense. Many people are so reactive, they won't even consider nothing makes them mad other than themselves. If they can choose to be mad, they can also choose not to be mad. So we've all told the lie, so-and-so makes me so mad. That's nothing but a lie. And many people believe it to be the truth. But there are some people out there that know better. Being mad is a choice. And when something happens and you have the freedom to pause and choose your response, then that means you're responsible. So let's go back to that overtime issue where I got angry because I was told to work after I'd been told I didn't have to work. And all that kind of thing. What would I do different now based on who I am today versus who I was then? First of all, I'd understand I choose to walk through the door every day knowing how the company and the leaders operate. That wasn't the first time that happened. It was just another time. And I know that nobody makes me come to work. I'd own that choice and all that comes with making it. The big difference is I'd always be positive because I know being negative hurts my influence and I'm trying to get somewhere. So I want to be positive. If I'm going through the door, I'm going to be positive. If I don't like working there, I'm going to be positive and find me another job and be positive about that at the same time. But what I'm going to do is wherever I'm at, I'm going to be positive because I know today how much it matters. I'd consider the impact my behavior has on my boss and the impact he or she has on my future. That's a big deal. And maybe even someplace else. Your boss may determine if you get a job someplace else because of the referral they may give you if someone contacts them, if you're trying to get a job somewhere else and they talk to your boss or your coworkers even. I'd know even if I don't get along with my boss, and I'd be working on that too because maybe I'm always complaining about everything and that's why I don't get along with them. I would know that now. But if I didn't get along with my boss, I'd be working on getting along with my boss because I know it's bigger than the relationship with the boss. Because other people are watching. And my relationship with my boss impacts what goes on at my house. And maybe other bosses I would rather work with are watching or listening. So if I'm a bad team member with my boss or a bad mouth my boss, people I might actually want to work with are watching and they're like, no, I don't want that guy working with me. But I understand that now. Back then I didn't. But because they see the behavior, they see in the word of mouth advertisement, they hear from my boss who's telling them how I react in my behavior. Maybe he's in meetings with other bosses and they're talking about me in the way I was always negative and reactive. That could cause the other bosses to have zero interest in working with me or having me on their team. So I ain't even on their radar screen. See, I know that now, but back then I didn't know that. And I guarantee you all of that kind of stuff is what was happening. I just didn't know it and understand it. So if you're reactive and negative, I'm telling you today that stuff's happening, whether you know it or not, and it's causing you to be held back. So what would I do different today if I had planned to be off in the last minute? I got told I had to work. Real simple. I'd rearrange my schedule without a complaint, and I'd work without a complaint, and I'd be positive. Because this is what I know today. The more we complain, the less we obtain. Real simple. So I'll leave you with a quote by Les Brown. I love this quote from Les. He says, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. And how does that relate to what we just talked about? When he says, if you do what's easy, your life will be hard. It's easy to just react. It's easy to just to get angry. It's easy not to wrap your character around a set of values. So when you do the easy thing, life's hard because you get the results of doing the easy thing, which is pretty much doing nothing. But if you do what's hard, your life will be easy. And the hard thing is aligning yourself with natural laws and principles and then pausing. When things happen, pause and choose your reaction, your behavior based on values instead of feelings. The more you do that, the easier your life's going to be. So that's a pretty good quote from Les. If you do what's easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what's hard, your life will be easy. Hope you got a lot out of today's episode, focusing on the pause button. It'll change your life if you learn how to master the pause button. I just want you to know it. Have a great day. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Mac's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.